Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. We have some good guests lined up today. At 10:30, we're going to be joined by Tony Softley, former executive with the St. Louis Rams, now doing some work in the Seattle area in the sports media industry. Also, I think he's involved with the American Alliance Football. Yes, sir. But Tony was here and did some good work here, and always candid. We're excited to get his take on the Rams, the NFL, maybe some draft thoughts. We're also going to talk with Scott Brown, the head baseball coach at Vianney, who was just named the National Coach of the Year. So that'll be good stuff. Martin will be here at 11. Now, we have Jim Haslett for later in the week. And when you think Saints and Rams, Jim Haslett's the first guy that pops into your head. He's the head coach of both organizations and always, boy, I tell you, we used to have him in on Fridays, and man, was he a lot of fun. So we're excited about that. And then anything else at 11? We have one more.
Well, Frank Bohl out of Kansas
right.
City.
Yes.
Tony Softley just canceled, however, so let me try to wrangle up another 10:30 guest.
Really?
Pulled into an emergency meeting, I'm guessing, with the Alliance people.
Oh, okay. So. Well, he's trying to put together a squad out
right,
there, we
yep,
understand.
Yep. So let me see if we can just do tomorrow.
All right. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. Fittingly, on a night that Cartier Gordon announces he's going to DePaul, the beat goes on for the basketball billikens. Let's hear it.
And the beat goes on.
Yes, the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
It'll be the only sports talk radio show in the country playing Sonny and Cher. I am assured of that. They just keep winning. I don't care if Fordham is not a great team, and there were about 1,000 fans in the stands. Bob Ramsey, after the game, said, the announced attendance, 1,700. There weren't 1,700 in here. It's a conference road win. I mean, if you can beat Viz on the road in a conference road game, I mean, that's a good victory. Last year at this time, maybe a little bit later, Jordan Goodwin, he turned into Chauncey Billups. 30-point games, triple-doubles, near triple-doubles. He was unbelievable. Last year at this time, maybe a little bit later, he started to look like the best player he was in St. Louis when he led Althoff to the state championship. So last night, 20 points, 9 boards, and 6 assists. 4 early threes. Earl said, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And he was spectacular. I got to tell you, too, if Jordan Goodwin turns into a beast, what we saw last year before season ended, they won't even know that Cartier was once on this team. You know mostly what you're going to get from Javon Bess. Last night, 17 and 11, including a huge three. You know that Hassan French will be near a double-double, you know, from here on out. Tremaine Isabel had a brutal night. I mean, he was not effective at all. From the field, he was 2 for 9. But you know what? One of those buckets won the game. He hit a three-pointer from about 23 feet away. Wow. But the point is, if Jordan skies to that next level, just like he did last year, you win this conference going away. SLU is 4-0 in the conference for the first time in 5 years. And then on Friday night, St. Joseph's comes to town. It's a lot of basketball for the Billikens in a short period of time, isn't it? Saturday, Tuesday, and Friday. Philadelphia, New York, and St. Louis. It's like an NBA schedule. All right, lap two. The Blues story is not that bad. I mean, they played a good game last night in New York. They really did. And the hottest player in the league continued his streak.
And then there's an exchange, and then it's Parayko. Now in deep. Here's a pass in front of Kronisha. He scores! He's done it again! David Perron set up by O'Reilly, and the Blues have tied the game.
Wow. The longest active point streak in the National Hockey League. They got another great performance out of Jordan Binnington. That stretch in the final minute of regulation, I don't know if you were watching, maybe about 140 to go. It was an unbelievable save after save after save. But in overtime, the Blues lost the game. They get the point. It's 5 points out of their last six in Boston on Thursday. Let's hear from the coach.
You know, I guess the start of the game, the first 5 minutes, we're kind of on our heels a little bit. We expected that them to come and come hard at home. But once we got our legs under us, we were fine. I don't know. We played a pretty good game. Thought that everybody was involved and contributed, and we played our game tonight. That's our game, and sometimes you just don't win. You know, sometimes you just don't score enough, and that was the case tonight. Their goalie played a heck of a game, as did ours, but we didn't get that second goal.
Lap three. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. Kids making decisions on schools. What a mystery. And I'm going to stay out of it from here on out. And I'll say this. If the kid would like to break the news live on Channel 5, I'll grant him that opportunity like we've done in the past. But it's coming out of their mouth. It has to come out of their mouth and their mouth only from here on out. I mean, there was once a famous story about Ralph Sampson where somebody said that when he was announcing that he was going to the University of Virginia, he didn't know at the time when he was making the announcement. And he said something like the University of Virginia. We had an instance about a month ago. The head coach of a prominent high school in town that has good players, who I know, known for a long time, who told me point blank on the phone, the kid had told the school he previously committed to that he has decommitted. Okay? The coach told me that point blank. I've known the guy for a long time, and I like the guy. Again, the coach is a good guy, honest fella. And then the kid says, that's not true. Now, the coach wouldn't have told me that if it were not true. But the kid may have changed his mind in that three-minute time period. So at that moment in time, after the confusion, I decided, I am out. No more. The websites and all those little websites, they can have it. I care more about the Lord, my family, the Cardinals, the Blues, the Tigers, and the Billikens. That leads me to this Jeff Thomas story. Now, let me take you back a little bit. There's a great debate on why he was leaving Miami. Was it not showing up at practice and getting thrown off the team? Was it academics? Or was it a kid that just wanted to change the scenery, which is fine. Kids can transfer. It's absolutely fine. I was told by a Mizzou coach he was leaving Miami, and they were in great shape to get him. Yep, right out of a Missouri coach's mouth. No, that didn't happen. Then really knowledgeable people on the Illinois beat were saying he's going to Illinois. As of yesterday. And then he tweets out, he's staying at Miami. I just want to watch Ray Donovan. I don't care a rat's a about any of this stuff. I really don't. I'm out. All right, lap four. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. So, the MLS situation. They partied like rock stars in Austin, Texas. They were supposed to originally get the Columbus franchise. They weren't going to get an expansion franchise. They were to get Columbus. So there were two expansion franchises left. They were going to leave Ohio for Texas. But Columbus rallied late and kept the team. So Commissioner Garber felt, well, Austin is worthy. They should be in this MLS. It's a growing city. And he didn't hesitate yesterday to give them team number 27. Now, there's nothing negative about the St. Louis MLS situation right now. But it's going slower than an Andy Strickland answer about Alexander Steen. No one will say this from the STL MLS group, but I think they were taken aback a little when Garber said the other day that sometime in 2019, he will make a decision about the 28th franchise. Sometime. What does that mean, in the words of Bob Ramsey? I think their gut feeling, the group in St. Louis, was in January, maybe February, they're going to get the news. But sometime? I mean, it still could be February. But is that May, July? Now, in the MLS defense, St. Louis still doesn't have their stadium plans complete. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. They're being worked on. It's not at all like the other one. People thought, oh, let's just roll out the other stadium. No. The Taylor family and the Kavanaughs have visited quite a few MLS stadiums around the country. And they're taking a little bit from each, and they're going to come up with their idea. The St. Louis entry is still really good. I don't think there's any reason to worry. It's just going slower than a Charlie Tuna walk. And if you haven't seen that, Brian, could you describe it in a nutshell?
It's getting slower. I'm curious. I'm worried about Friday because now it's cold. So I wonder when he's walking from his car to here in colder weather, and it takes a little bit longer for your joints and muscles to warm up. It's a long walk.
What do you think from the patio to our door, from the start of the patio when you get inside? How many feet do you think that is? 20 feet or no?
From the entrance to the patio, yeah, 20, 30 feet. Yeah, okay. Hovering around
what
there.
What we ought to do is, Plazzi, keep an eye on this too, on Friday. When you see Tuna start to walk up, let's all get out our phones and clock him.
Yes.
He'll run like a 15-second 20 feet.
It's a slow gait for Charlie Tuna from one place to the other.
So I asked Bill McDermott last night about how he views the situation in terms of competition for St. Louis. And he said probably Phoenix. They have a Chinese billionaire / hotel magnate as their prime investor. Unless another city has made headway, maybe Detroit, Sacramento, etc., the league isn't saying anything as we speak. All right, let's talk food. Brian's Onesto has 33,000 views now on Frank's Food Picks. I think there's still a chance we can get him to 40,000. Today, we go to the Southwest Diner, the place with the bus out back where you can get drinks and wait for a table. Everybody needs a shtick, you know, something recognizable. And in addition, you got to have good food, or you got to have one, like, really signature item. And, you know, like, it's just a cool thing, this bus. Sometimes sportscasters have a signature call. It's a goner, you know, or a piece of clothing, like a turtleneck. Not really, but for a restaurant, maybe it's cheese bread. Maybe it's the bus. So here's the question. What place, no matter where you go, you have to eat that same thing almost every time? That, you know what, when I'm going to that restaurant, I don't care if this menu's got pages and pages of things to choose from. I don't care about the specials and the Chilean sea bass. No, I'm ordering this thing. What would be that for you? What's the restaurant? And what's the place? When I go there, I am having this. Is there anything for you gentlemen in the studio? Plazzi?
I'm trying to think.
Like Billy G's, do you go there?
Billy G's Chicken Modigo all day, yeah.
Okay.
So I guess it would all depend. O'Connell's, I think you've done.
We have not done, but I've been. And did you have the burger?
I love the wings. They're only a Sunday item, so that's kind of a specialty. So you can't get them every night. So I guess, you know, that wouldn't be considered your question. So I'd probably go with the chicken modiga or something at Billy G's.
I'll go Lester's lemon pepper garlic wings, my all-time favorite.
And if I go to Onesto, it is usually their pizza. If I go to a Seiberg's restaurant, like Helen's or
Seiberg's,
you can get their classic chicken sandwich and get it grilled and just lathered in their sauce.
That orange?
Yes, it is a phenomenal sandwich. Yeah. You get a really good kick from that orange sauce. It's great.
Have you had the Shark Bites?
I've not.
Okay, that's a good one there. All right, lap six. So yesterday, when we were doing the show, the name Sheryl Crow popped up. Now, the Pride of Kenneth, Missouri, why did her name pop up? We were talking about...
It wasn't Lance Armstrong. What, was it Mizzou? She went there?
I don't know how we get on these. It seems we go more...
music. I can't remember how Sheryl came up.
Well, so anyway, after the show, I had, as soon as her name popped up, I wanted to confirm this. So I called one of my best friends from high school, John Hughes, an attorney, and he confirmed it. So one night, this was like right after college, John Hughes calls me, this attorney, and he says, hey, I got an old girlfriend coming up from Mizzou. Any chance we could double date? I said, yeah, well, free Saturday night. So I took Monique, I think, and we went to Kimmel's. And I always remember that this girl was exceedingly attractive for my friend. And she was also a school teacher in a small rural area in Missouri. And that lady was Sheryl Crow. And so he was telling me last night, he goes, oh, yeah, you were calling her Miss School Teacher all night. And you guys were kind of jawing back and forth and stuff. But boy, Sheryl Crow, I think that's the most famous person I've ever eaten with. Although I didn't had no idea.
Here it is. Someone who has a much better memory than I, two people actually. Evidently you read that, and this is during Dr. Rick's segment, that whenever she has a sore throat, she just eats a whole bag of greasy potato chips. And
yes.
The doctor, who's in charge of health, actually said that that works. So, next time you got a tickle in your throat, just go and get the greasiest bag. He didn't say what size. Is it like one of those like snack size bags or a
snack
full?
Size, yeah. Oh. But certainly not the baked. It's got to be the greasy stuff. Yeah, oh, Brett Martin texting in, yes. Chocolate fixes your cough. That was the Dr. Rick contingent. Yeah.
And also apparently very greasy potato chips. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
No, Doug had lozenge in here for a sore throat or a... Or at least a cough. We should tell him. Just buy some chocolate and a big old bag of potato chips.
You may pick up like 10 pounds, but the throat's going to be okay.
You'll feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And then finally, the weekend of the championship in the NFL. I was thinking about this today. We haven't had many championship weekends. But first of all, we've never – I think it's the only time we've ever had the four highest-scoring teams – but what I think is most interesting is the minds involved. These at one time, all of these offensive decision makers on these teams, three head coaches and one coordinator, they have all at one time been considered, wow, the best offensive mind in the game. Now, you may not like Josh McDaniels, but the guy's done it for a long time. And I'm not saying right now, but there was a stretch where you thought, this guy's unbelievable. So you have Josh McDaniel. You have Andy Reid, who's been brilliant for so long, despite, I think, being 13-12 in his postseason record. But now he's got maybe the most creative offense the league has ever seen. And he's always been great. So that's two. And then you have Sean McVay, who everybody's in love with. And then, of course, Sean Payton, who, you know, is as good as anybody. So the problem is this. What is the rumored wind chill factor, Brian, supposed to be in Kansas City?
Below zero if you're going to count wind chill.
Yeah, they say it's got a chance to break the wind chill record. It won't break the temperature record, but the wind chill record in Kansas City. And that's the problem is, can you see 80 points in a game where it's 20 below wind chill-wise?
I think it'd be harder to play defense as a defensive back getting ready to hit. So maybe if you get the ball on a Tyreek Hill type hands,
Maybe.
You could see a couple of those plays.
I don't know, I could see the wind affecting longer throws.
Let's see. The Colts game in league history.
There's the Chargers-Bengals, I think, had the record for wind chill.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's one for what is projected to be. I'm seeing temperature, which is...
Oh, what is that?
Might get as low as 5 degrees as the game progresses.
5 degrees.
Yes.
And wasn't the Packers-Cowboys lowest temperature?
Yeah, I
temperature?
Think it was 13 below.
13 below.
Packers-Cowboys.
Like yeah.
Check that. Just
the video of that is unbelievable.
Yeah. And you know that back then they didn't have the amenities they have now.
You didn't
now.
Have the hand warmers, and the gloves that they wore, I'm sure, were
the
not
great. The
coldest
game in league history is believed to be the Ice Bowl, which saw game time temperatures of minus 13 with a wind chill of minus 36.
It's insane.
Just check, just for the heck of it, Chargers and Bengals. I think Fouts still says he has issues from playing in that game.
What about in today's day and age of football? Would they cancel a game if it's negative 35 with a wind chill, or are they just kind of suck it up?
Air temperature was minus 9. The wind chill was about minus 37.
Wow.
Which I don't like is during the bitter winter and the really hot summer. Just give me what it feels like. I don't care what the temperature is. I need to know what it feels like.
Yeah.
So when they say it's minus 9, but it feels like minus 37, then to me it's minus 37.
All right, so now, if I offered you guys 20 rows up, 20 rows up, perfect seats.
No.
You'd say no.
I would say no.
I would say absolutely no.
Yeah.
I'm seeing the exact same game from my couch where there's heat.
And even if it's a good game, are you enjoying it as much as you would normally, I think? Hot cocoa on the couch, I'm dame.
That's the thing. On your mind the entire time.
You need hot cocoa in your 72-degree living room.
I bump it up.
Okay.
My God, 74. Even if you're a diehard Chiefs fan and they're winning, the whole time on your mind is, can't this game get over with?
Yes.
I'm freezing. Get me back in my car.
Hmm. And then finally, I don't know if you saw the news, but it doesn't seem too shocking. The New York Post reported on Tuesday that announcer Bob Costas and NBC Sports reached an agreement to end his career with the network.
Mm.
So he'll reportedly continue to work with MLB Network. And Bob has kind of told us that's what he's wanted to do. It's kind of neat when a great one kind of goes out on his own terms like that. All right, we'll take a short time out. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan.